You're you.
Okay. The maimer we're going to learn today was delivered by the Rebbe on a Shabbos HaGadol, just like this one. It was Parshas Tzav. The year was 1987. And what's interesting about this maimer is that it's really close to Pesach. It's obviously the 12th day of Nisan. This year it's only the 8th day of Nisan. This is the 12th day of Nisan. This is literally like 2 days before Pesach. But the maimer is not about Pesach really at all. It's totally about the Parsha. Which I thought was interesting. Anyway, here's how the maimer goes. It's not even about the Parsha. We have to look for a connection to the Parsha. It's connected to the maimer in Lakuta Torah. That's the segue into this. So this is based on a pasuk that's found in the prophecies of Joel, in chapter 2. It says, V'achaltem ochel v'soveya. This is talking about the future, coming of Mashiach. And on a literal level, this pasuk reads something like, you'll eat really well, and you'll be satisfied. We'll finally be satisfied. Can you imagine satisfied Jews? There's no such thing. True. Well, Mashiach will come, we'll have satisfied Jews. My nation, the pasuk finishes, will have no shame for eternity. Now, there is a drush. There is a Hasidic exposition on this verse that's found in Lakuta Torah, and it's in the beginning of this week's Parsha. And the Rebbe goes on to talk about the idea of a Hasidic Parsha, that the Friedrich Rebbe used to mention and invoke this notion that there's the Parsha, the typical Parsha, and then there's the Hasidic Parsha, there's the mystical messages for the Parsha, which are found chiefly and primarily in the Maimarim of Torah Eir and Lakuta Torah, which are ultimately one book. Okay, so in that maimer, he's medayik, and the diuk is the exact precise analysis of these words is mahu inyan ve'achaltem ochel. What is the meaning of you'll eat the eaten? That's actually what it means. Ve'achaltem, you will eat, ochel, that which was eaten. You'll eat the eaten. This is like recycling. That's what it sounds like. This is the first mention of recycling. So you'll recycle that which is already eaten. Now, again, on a literal level, we read this pasuk. It's like a lot of the nasoin titain. How do we translate in English when it comes to the mitzvah tzedakah? Nasoin, you will give. Titain, you will give. How do we translate it in English? Give, you will give? Not really. We translate it as you will surely give. Poseach tiftach, you will open your hand. Well, it says poseach means open hand, and tiftach means open hand. So what's the meaning of poseach tiftach? You will surely open. The redundant expression in Hebrew oftentimes simply is indicative of certitude. You will do this. It's going to happen. Not maybe. You will. Really well. In a very profound way. However, that's why we say this is a diuk. We're analyzing the language. It doesn't say v'achaltem achaltem. It says v'achaltem ochel. You'll eat. Zu gesund. You'll eat food, but ochel doesn't mean food. Ochel means what was eaten, or what was already food, or already eaten. So what does this mean? Why do we have this redundancy? And it's mashma, the intimation of this redundant expression is, sha'achad achila achas, that after having eaten, you'll eat again. You've eaten, eat again. Huh? I don't know, like chewing the cud so much, or it sounds more like a Yiddish mama or a baba. You come to visit, you ate yet? Sure, I'll eat again. I just ate already. But yeah, there is this idea of, it's like chewing the cud. I'm kind of giving away the secret already, but that's also what it sounds like. So what does this have to do with Parshas Tzav? Right? Here's the Rebbe on Shabbos HaGadol. He's not talking about Shabbos HaGadol. He's not talking about Pesach. He's talking about Parshas Tzav. And this is not even about the Parsha. But it's about the Parsha because in Lakuta Torah it's about the Parsha. Okay, fine. So why did the Alter Rebbe give us a maimer on Parshas Tzav, on a pasuk in Yoel that talks about eating and eating again, or eating the eaten? So the Rebbe says that the kesher is based on a maimer in the hemshach of that very maimer of Lakuta Torah. There is a statement that's made from the Medrash in the Vayikra Rabbah, and the statement is on Ze Korban Aaron. This is the Korban of Aaron. This pasuk, incidentally, is speaking about the Minchas Chavitin, about the meal offering, which was brought by the Kohen Gadol daily, and by every Kohen on his first day on the job. So you would bring a minchas chinuch. That's what it was called for a regular kohen. In a mincha, an offering, which served to educate or inaugurate the kohen into his mission, into his service. Or the kohen gadol, who had to be like re-inaugurated every single day. The kohen gadol could never get used to his position. Every day was all over, brand new, all over again. So this pasuk speaks about Aaron. It says, this is the carbon of Aaron. This is the carbon of Aaron. And then the Medrash links this to the pasuk, Vayemer lahem, Shimshon said to them, Meha eichel yotza meichel. So this is a fascinating story in the book of Judges. Everybody knows who Shimshon was? Samson, the mighty man. Incidentally, the story of Shimshon is where the notion of the Incredible Hulk comes from, or the X-Men. All these stories of people who look like weak and puny, who suddenly something triggers and they become these fearsome, mighty, terrifying warriors. That's the story of Shimshon. He couldn't even walk. He was basically almost a paraplegic. He was like just one step out of a wheelchair, shuffling around, barely able to move. And suddenly, when time came, he was able to do, you know, unbelievable things. So the story goes with Shimshon that he's going to Timnah, which is interesting, because the city that shows up, we have a story with Yehuda, and then we have a story with Timnah, mentions again with Shimshon. He's going to Timnah, and suddenly he's attacked by a lion. Hashem gives him the koyach, and he tears the lion, like he was a little goat, it says. Just tears the lion to pieces, tears him apart, limb by limb. And he leaves the lion, that's it, he moves on. Then he comes back, and he finds that there's a huge swarm of bees that have inhabited the carcass of the lion, and that they've built honeycombs, and that they already deposited honey. So Shimshon takes the honey, and that's what he eats, or something like this. And he says, incredulously, Meha oichel, from the eater, because that's what lions do. Lions eat you. The lions are the fearsome creature that devours or consumes. Yotza meichel, from the eater came food. In Hebrew, we have the same word. Oichel, meichel. It will be like the equivalent in English, from the fooder came food. That doesn't make any sense if it's in English. So it means, in English, it means from the one who eats. From the one who eats the food, came the food. So the Medrash links the story of Zekor ben Aaron to the story of Shimshon. And the Medrash says, Aharon oichel kol hakarbanis. Aaron eats all the offerings, right? A Jew, heaven forfend, does a sin. He falls short. What does he or she do in order to rehabilitate themselves spiritually? They bring a korban. And then what happens to the korban chatas, to the sin offering? Part of it gets burnt on the mizbeach, and part of it gets eaten by the kohanim. And we say, hakoyanim oichlim, the kohanim eat, ubailim, and the ones who brought the korban, miskaprim, are atoned for. In other words, when Aaron eats, who, in a sense, is Aaron eating for? Or on behalf of? Almost on behalf of God. He's doing God's job. God said, you be my person, my point person. You eat the food, and when you eat the food, it's that will bring about an atonement for them. Just like the Mizbeach eats the food, so Aaron eats the food. And now an amazing thing happens. When it comes to a mincha, a meal offering, what happens to all the meal offerings? A little tiny fistful. It's not even a fistful, it's three fingerfuls. Rambam calls it a kezias. It's like a mystery to me. He takes a little tiny kezias, dip into the dough. Just take three fistfuls, clean off hair and hair. Take his little three fistfuls, throw it onto the fire. What happened to the rest of the meal offering? It was eaten. By who? By the kohanim. So the kohanim would eat the meal offering, and that would bring atonement for the Jewish people. And then, who eats the kohen's mincha? Nobody. There's even a whole discussion in Achrenim, Kesef Mishnah, there's a whole thing on the Rambam. What do you do with a woman who's married to a Kohen? Does she get the same status as the Kohen insofar as the mincha being burnt? Or should her husband eat the mincha? Because he's a natural born Kohen. We know when it's clear, when it says to somebody, a woman who's born a Kohen, it gets burnt. We know that. The question is, does a naturalized Kohen have the same halacha? Anyway, let's go back to our subject. So the Medrash kind of says incredulously, what's going on here? The eater is getting eaten. Aaron, who's the one who eats all the karbanas, when his mincha is brought, his mincha has to be consumed. So it's like the same, it's linked. That's how we end up with a connection between this week's parsha and between the story of Shimshon, and the business of Yoel. V'chaltem ochel. V'chaltem ochel is a pasuk in Yoel. that speaks about the coming of Mashiach, the satisfaction that we'll enjoy at the Seuda that Mashiach will lead. And then we have this pasuk, which is so represents redundancy with eating or consuming. And then we have a pasuk in the Parsha that talks about Aaron. It says, Zeh Korban Aaron, which seems this is the Korban. Why is this the Korban? Something unique about this. And this is because this mincha, is consumed entirely by the Mizbeach. And the Medrash links it to the pasuk of Shimshon that says, Meha Eichel Yatza Meichel, which is also like redundant. From the eater comes the food. And that's the connection. So the Rebbe says, what in heaven is going on here? Like really, this is like the best connection Alter Rebbe could have found. Is like of all the things in Parshas Tzav, he had nothing better to expound on than a medrash that links to a story in the book of Judges that can backhandedly be somehow linked to a prophecy of Yoel that speaks about the future. And that's the maimer of Parshas Tzav, Shabbos HaGadol. This says there's got to be something else going on here. So ha'inyan b'zeh, the thing is like this, the hinei, b'inyan ha'achila b'pashtos, when we talk about consumption in the most literal way, and we're talking about consumption, we're not talking about consuming kilowatts of electricity, we're talking about here consumption of food, okay? Not gas in the car, but food, that a person would eat food. So v'hinei, this inyan of consumption, yeshnam beis inyanim, there are two distinctly different dimensions, two things going on here. Number one, shal yedei ha'achila mis'ala ha'adam, that through the consumption of the food, the person is elevated. The person is upgraded, if you will. Shalachain, that's why, al yedei ha'achila dafka, it's specifically through the concept of eating, of having this consumption. Hu kishur ha'neshama beguf, that's how body and soul stay together. So this is a subject which is discussed widely in Chassidus. Why are we eating food? Are we eating food? And my Maram of the Alter Rebbe will reference the teaching of the Arizal, Lei al halechem levada yichya ha'adam. A person does not eat or live only by bread. Kel kol meitzeh pi Hashem. But all the things that issue forth from God's mouth. The Arizal famously says on those words that it's not on the lechem, it's not the physical bread that nourishes and sustains, but it's meitzeh pi havaya. It's the sustaining utterance of God. It's God's creative energy. It's the divinity that's to be found in the food that ultimately sustains. So the question then becomes, if it's the divine energy, the divine element that sustains, because God created the bread, didn't God create the person too? Why can't you consume yourself? Why can't you regenerate energy yourself? Why can't you take the godliness that's in you and consume that and elevate it? So this we come along and say, no, it's not so simple. That kol ha'gavaya, gavaya yeser, that which is in the highest, loftiest vantage point, yerid lamata yeser, falls to the lowest level. And the metaphor that's about this wall that collapses, the stones that were on the very highest rung will now be the furthest away from the actual foundation. And they'll be the hardest to restore, because the higher you go, the higher the wall is, higher it is to restore. Okay, so this is like a metaphor. Or another metaphor is when something's dropped from a great heights, it will shatter. And the shattering, by virtue of how much it was shattered, we can know how high it was thrown from. Call it pull of gravity or whatever else you want to call it. But so in other words, there's this business of something falling lower or having a greater shattering, that because it comes from a higher place. So there's a higher element in food, and because food is lower than us, because it falls lower, it is less animation, therefore it's lower. And by us ingesting it, we're able to benefit from the higher force of divinity, which is not organically invested in us. Okay, so that's one idea of food, that it brings us, it elevates us. How else would we get this higher level of divine energy? There is no other way. The only way is to eat. So as they say in French, est gesundheit, eat. Because if you don't eat, you won't elevate it. And everything has to be elevated. The minerals have to be elevated. Drink some water. The vegetation has to be elevated. Have some vegetables. Eat your spinach. Have a slice of bread. And also, the animal life has to be elevated. Have some salmon and a little roast beef too. Okay, Baruch Hashem, have my whole Shabbos meal completed. Except that on Shabbos, I'm not really doing this. That's another story. That's not for now. So when I eat, I am in turn elevated. That's number one on the idea one in food. Idea number two, beis is, shenasa biru b'hamaychel. It's not about the food, It's not about the person, pardon me, it's about the food. The food has to be redeemed. The food has fallen to this very low level, not because the food did something wrong, but because God created a broken world. So God shatters things, and he says, will you please put it back together? And of course you ask the question, well, dear God, if you wanted it together, why'd you break it? And the answer is, I wanted you to put it together. I want you to be my partner. So if you will put it back together, then we'll be partners. And you ask the question, why does Hashem need it? It seems so pointless. He had everything, then he broke it, because Hashem loves us. Hashem is good. Etzem teva tev lehetiv. Goodness wants to do good. So Hashem wants us to feel accomplished. And on some level, there is a difference between before it was put together and after it was put together. Or there is a difference between the way we put it together and God puts it together. There has to be a difference. Otherwise, it's just a game. It's a joke. It's not real. And this is real. Yiddishkeit is real. And the Neshama's mission is real. If Hashem asks us to do it, he has to ask us to do real things. So what's happening here is that there's a birur, there's a refinement in the Meichel. And just like when you mine things, you take out ore, you don't take out gold or silver or nickel. You take out things which are full of toxins. And you even take gasoline out of the ground, oil out of the ground. It's not readily used in the car. In fact, it's full of toxins. If you took gasoline straight out of the car and put it in the car would probably stop or die within minutes. Why? Because it would be full of silt and other things which destroy the engine of the car. So what do you need to do? You need to burn that off. And the more refined the gas is, the more it's going to cost, because the more they lost, and the better it is for your car, by the way. So if you get a really fancy car, use the more refined gas. Because otherwise, you're doing some of the refinement as you drive, and then you're left with the sediment, which is not healthy for the car. But anyway, going back to people, that's why Hashem tells us we should eat. What happens when we eat? Two tables away now. I'm just saying. So then what happens when we eat is that we ingest all kinds of things which are actually not good for us. And just like physically there's a digestive system that's to separate between the good and the bad, take the toxins, push them out of the body, and then so we should be able to retain the only things that are actually healthy for us. So in the same way, on a spiritual level, this is what's going on. There's a birur b'hamaichel. Sha'arei ayidei achilas hadoimim v'hatzemeach v'hachai. By consuming the inanimate, the mineral world, the vegetative world, and the living, creeping world, the world of life, of animals, mizbarer u'mizdachech u'mesala. This crystallizes, cleanses, refines, and elevates that it should become damu basar kipsarei shel hamadaber ha'echle. It becomes part of a person. The person is the crown of creation. The person is the medaber. So how can the doimim become a medaber? He can't, unless the medaber chooses to eat him. If the inanimate is ingested by the intelligent, then the inanimate now becomes, by default, intelligent. But how did it get so smart? How did that water get so smart? Well, the water wasn't so smart. The water had luck. His luck was to be consumed by a smart guy. And the smarter the person is, the smarter the water will be. And so it is with the vegetation. So it is with the animals also. Right? So the cow that Einstein ate was a really smart cow. Or he became a very smart cow because he's a very smart guy. So this is how the food becomes elevated. Then it goes via Seder Mizu, goes even further. When the medaber, when the person who is an intelligent, communicative creature, eats this, and then not only does he eat it, but he actually serves Hashem. So then, because that's the purpose of a human being, not to be self-serving, but rather to be divine-serving. Ani nivresi, I was created, says the Mishnah in Kiddushin, l'shamish es koini. The sole purpose for the creation of humanity was that we should in effect serve God and live a life that is godly. So harei ha-maichel elu l'darga nailas yeser. When Einstein ate the cow got very smart. But the cow didn't get holy unless Einstein met the Lubavitcher boy and put on tefillin with him. And if that happened, oh, then he's not only a smart cow, now he's a holy cow. And that's how it goes from a dumb cow to a smart cow to a holy cow. How? It's to be consumed. He becomes part of a person, now he's smart. The person serves Hashem, now he becomes godly. Until such point that the cow can transcend the world of the created. He becomes one with God. Because God and the Jewish people are one. This is the meaning then of eating the eaten. Achila then is a euphemism. even though it's literal too. And it means to consume something means to refine something, because consumption necessarily is refinement. That's what consumption's about. So when I'm going to consume it and then refine it, a dumb cow became a smart cow, and then the smart cow bumped up to the next level. He became a holy cow, a godly cow. That's another level of refinement. Because the person in and of himself is smart but not holy. The person has to do acts of holiness in order to be holy. This is the meaning of yachaltam ochel. You'll eat and you'll eat. Eat and you'll eat, or even further, you'll eat the eaten. After this refinement, the cow feels really good about himself now. He feels like a really smart cow. He is. He became something, part of something very smart. And then we say to the cow, now wait and see this. Not only are you going to be a smart cow, but something greater is going to happen. So consumption is great. Some consumption is good, but recycling is great. When you now you can take the same thing that was consumed once and now recycle it again, further refine it. The elevated refining, the secondary refining, that you take this thing even higher. This requires additional consumption though. There's got to be something else that consumes, because how did it go to the next level? Just like the cow became a smart cow because there was a refinement process, which is called consumption, eating. So too, in order for it to get to the next level, there has to be another refinement process, which is also going to be called eating. But here, the eating will be metaphoric, euphemistic, not literally chomping and digesting. But now we're going to talk about a higher level of refinement in eating. The thing is like this. This pasuk, as we stated in the outset of today's maimer, is referring to Giluyim de la'asad lavi. This refers to the revelation that will be experienced by us all in the time that will soon come. La'achare shleimus ha'avedet d'zman hazeh. This comes at the end of our work, our service, our efforts that have to be made during this time. So when Golus ends, that means our aveda is finished. The Rebbe said our aveda is finished. But then he said it's not finished. And the proof is Mashiach's not here. But he said, really it is. We already reached the goal. But he said, clearly something else is missing. What's the proof? We're still here? So the Aveda is not finished. And he would vacillate, go back and forth, talk about the Aveda being finished. He said, we've already reached the Aveda. And then he said, but no, clearly it's, there's something else that's expected of us because we're still here. When do we know for sure the Aveda is finished? When there's no more Aveda to do? You know when we know? When Mashiach is here. There's no more Aveda. Because if Mashiach would need us to do something else for him to come, we'd have to do that extra thing. So what are you waiting for? Let's go do it. And when we do everything, the Mashiach comes. Sha'az yekvar shleim osinyin habirur rishon. The first birur, the first refinement, that's only after it's all done. Mashiach comes. Then the first refinement, the first stage of refinement is complete. And once the first stage of refinement is complete, va'achidish la'asid lavei, the novelty then of the future to come will be mashakol habirurim, that all the refinement, shenizbaru adoz, thousands of years of human effort from the days of Adam Rishon, which didn't go too well, until that was rectified by Avraham Avinu, and a process set in motion, which culminates and climaxes in the seventh generation with Moshe Rabbeinu bringing the Shekhinah down Lamata, and then us making that terrible mistake of the golden calf, and having to undo it, and then getting a Mishkan, and getting Avodah Beis HaMikdash, which is reminiscent and representative of all the Avodah that the Yidus do to make this world a holy, a godly, and a sacred place. All this will come to its head, reach its fruition, when Mashiach will finally come. This is an accumulative effort, a massive accumulative effort, that has taken thousands of years and will soon come to its close. And when it comes to its close, so then hine oz hine yeh tesefes aliyah shlei berech. You think that was impressive? You think that was a big deal when you got finally here? Now we go to a whole new level. Shlei berech. That's the birur hasheni. That's the second refinement. So the first refinement, that starts at the beginning of creation. It goes all the way until Mashiach. That's refinement number one. When the world is refined, then we start the process all over again. Then we've got to recycle. So, okay, this refined world has to be recycled, re-refined to a higher level. This is reminiscent and similar of the idea that says, I'll return to my father's home. God will be for me. Havaya will be for me, Elikim. That one of the explanations in Chassidus is, Shala'asid lavai, that the notion of returning to my father's home is a euphemism. And speaks of the coming of Mashiach, when the neshama is restored to its former glory, coming home. And then Arei Bechinas Havaya. There's two levels of divinity. There's a level of transcendent energy, which is Havaya. There's a level of energy of divinity, which is enclosed or meshed within natural means. So the Havaya will be Elikim. What does it mean the Havaya will be Elikim? It means that which is the level of miracles, that'll become every day. Ah, that's not a miracle. That happens all the time. That's impressive. Ah, that's no big deal now. In other words, the extraordinary will become ordinary. Mashiach's times will be extraordinary, at least by the litmus or yardstick of today. And Mashiach's extraordinary times will become quite ordinary. So that which is Havaya, the energy of divinity, which is supernatural, transcendent of any kind of rhyme and reason, well, Mashiach will come. That will go to the next level. So that will become a likim. That will look like nature. That will look like the limitations. The birur, the ata, that the birur and ata in language of Kabbalah is called the birur of Shem Ban, which is one level of Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then Ayidei Shema, and that happens through Shema. Lasid Lavei, Mashiach will come. That which elevated, that which was Havaya, which elevating the lower level, that itself will become elevated to the next level. And we have to break over here. But this is what the Suda of Mashiach will be. And this is what the future Mitzvah will bring us. That there's refinement. Then there's the next refinement which goes above and beyond. And this is the idea of, so to speak, how recycling will make us truly great. And it's pretty interesting. Everybody talks about recycling today, but that's kind of right on the money. Anyway, good Shabbos to all of our listeners and watchers out there. Good Shabbos to all of you. And hopefully, Emirat Hashem, we will be celebrating the greatest Shabbos of all, the last Shabbos of Golos and the first Shabbos of Geula, with the coming of Mashiach, Bemheira, Ubimeinu, Amen.